Into the Light Ministries is proud to present Your Alarm Call with Reverend Ron Bernier. Now we ask you to sit back and open your mind and your spirit to what God has to say to you on Your Alarm Call.
Praise God and hallelujah. It's good to be with you tonight. And again, I thank you very, very much for joining us and for being with us tonight. A couple of nights ago, I asked you a question. I'd like to repeat it tonight. I'd like any of you that watch us to drop us a postcard or a line and just state that you do watch us and what channel you see us on. I'm not asking you for any money. We don't take offerings. Most of you know that. I'm not going to put you on a mailing list. We don't have one. But the only way we have to know that you're watching us is if you write us or drop us an email or call or whatever. And I would appreciate it very much if you would do that. Don't even have to put your last name down, just your first name and the fact that you watch us. And we would very much appreciate that. Because we also need to be good stewards of the money that God gives us, and we've got to put it in the places where the majority of people are going to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, whether that is in a crusade in Moruga, Trinidad, or on television, I don't know. But wherever, that's the place I want to be at, where the majority of people are going to hear it. I mentioned Moruga because we were there not too long ago. And if you like the middle of the jungle and snakes bigger than you can believe, you'd love it down there. It's one of the first places Christopher Columbus discovered. In fact, he believed it was America at the time. I thank God it wasn't after the 6 or 8 months I spent there. I have never seen mosquitoes that big in my life. Well, yeah, I have to. We have them here, but we call them ducks. But it's just huge down there. Anyway, for those of you who have your Bible, if you would turn to the book of Ecclesiastes. The book of Ecclesiastes, and at chapter 3, I want to begin at verse 1. Now, most of you know how much I complain about people that come to church, or for that matter, even watch TV without a Bible. I've said it 1,000 times before, I'll say it again. Do not believe me. Do not believe any man. Do not believe any woman. Believe what God says. This and this alone is truth. Jesus said, I am the truth and the way, and He is the only truth. Don't let anybody add anything to it. Don't let anybody take away anything from it. Make sure it is given to you in its proper context, and that it is that way all the way through, from Genesis to Revelation, that you know you have the true Word of God. Whether it fits your particular belief or doctrine or not makes no difference. If it doesn't fit your doctrine, change your doctrine. Now, I hope you all understand that when you first get saved, there's no two ways about it. Everybody, when they first get saved, will pick up some bad doctrine. And throughout your walk with God, God will constantly be changing your doctrine. When we get into the New Testament and we get towards the end, the Word of the Lord says to watch your life and your doctrine carefully. Speaking of the last days, the Holy Spirit says, watch your life and your doctrine closely. Now, why would the Holy Spirit say that if there wasn't a very good chance that your doctrine could get off base, which would then cause your life to get off base? I have known preachers, I don't claim to understand this, but I have known preachers who have preached the truth from the Word of God for 30, 40, 50 years. Preached the absolute truth with power and with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And 6 months or a year before they die, they will pick up some unbelievably screwy doctrine. Literally some doctrine of demons, and begin to preach it to their church. Some of their church, thank God, will get up and leave, but others will stay. Because they will say, it must be right, this man has been right all these years. I don't care how long someone's been right. There's always the chance he's going to be wrong. And if he is, you need to speak to the other elders. They need to go to him. They need to talk to him in love and in humility, lest they also get caught up in the trap. But they need to talk to him about his doctrine. There needs to be somebody there that can talk to him about his doctrine. If you got a one-man church, he's the only one there, nobody can talk to him, get out. Go find another church. Because you're in a Jim Jones type place then. You're in trouble. Excuse me. In chapter 3, book of Ecclesiastics, in verse 1, it says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heavens. There is a time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which was planted. Listen to this. There is a time to kill. Yes, there is a time to kill. And there is a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. There is a time to weep and a time to laugh. There is a time to mourn. And I don't care what some of these religions tell you, there is a time to dance. To get up and dance for joy before the Lord. I'm not talking about the choreographed dancing they have in some of these ridiculous churches today, but I'm talking about that which comes just simultaneously from the Holy Spirit. To dance before the Lord because you're overflowing with joy, with thankfulness for that which God has done in your life. And down in verse 11, speaking of the Lord, he has made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. You know that God named every star that he put in the heavens. It is amazing to me to go out at night and to look at the multitudes of millions of stars and realize that God has a name for every one of them. Jump down to verse 16. And moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that wickedness was there, and the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there. And I said in mine heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time for every purpose and every work. Now, this was done by Solomon. The Bible says he was the wisest man to ever live upon the earth. The wisest man that would ever live upon the earth. And this is what he wrote. This is what he put his wisdom to. And for those of you that haven't read the last statement, the last verse, you've got to go to that. Because after everything that he could try, the hanging gardens, all the women, all the wives, all the concubines, all the buildings, all the temples, all the wars, everything that he could try. In fact, let me read it to you, that you can really understand what God is saying. In verse 13 of chapter 12, this is the last two verses of Solomon's conclusion. And Solomon said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. He had looked over everything. And he said, this is what everything in this world amounts to. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And in verse 14, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Every secret thing will be brought into judgment. You will no longer have to wonder whether Lee Harvey Oswald was able to shoot President Kennedy. Personally, I don't think he could have hit the broadside of a barn, much less Kennedy. And no one is ever going to get me to believe that a head goes backwards that has been shot in the back. You know, the laws of gravity would have to change for that. But I'm not going to get into that conspiracy. But the missing minutes on Nixon's tapes will show up. There won't be any secret thing. We'll know everything that happened prior to the death of Marilyn Monroe and all of these other people that died. The bodies that they've found, the murderers that they've never been able to convict, all of that will come out. This judgment, there will be no defense attorneys. There will be no legal loopholes to get out of it. But rather, God will expose everything. Every secret thing. There's a lot of you out there that are listening to me right now, and you're being convicted. That which you feel is called conviction. You think that what you did is a secret, that you got away with it. Brother, you didn't. It is known unto God, it is written down in a book, and if you want, it's even been filmed. You will see it, every man, woman, and child that ever lived upon this earth will see it, every demon will see it, every angel will see it. It'll be broadcast for everybody to see it. There's no secrets. A lot of people think they've committed the perfect crime. A lot of them think they've even gotten away with murder. They didn't. It'll all come out. It's going to come out in the end. You're going to get caught. I want to read you something that it really shocked me and set me back. And I want to share it from you. This was a survey that was taken by Red Book magazine, which I understand is a very popular magazine, especially with the women. Now, this was taken quite some time ago, but I believe it's only gotten worse, not better. Now, if you would, listen to these statistics. What they did is they went to the seminaries where people were supposedly being trained how to be ministers. I don't understand that. My Bible says God calls His ministers, not the seminary. My Bible says the Holy Spirit trains the ministers, not the cemetery. Same thing. But they went to all of these seminaries, and they went to the last year students, the ones that were going to graduate that year, the ones that are in your pulpit today. You got a paper and pencil, write this down and stop and think about it. Out of the whole group, and they went to Assemblies of God and the Lutherans and all of them. I can't think of the names of them right now, but they went to all of them. And they got all these pastors to answer these, soon-to-be pastors, to answer these questions. Now, out of the entire group, 56% rejected, totally rejected out of hand, the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. It is the main tenet that the Christian religion is built on. Over half of them, 56%, rejected out of hand the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Think about this. These people are in your pulpits today. Think about this. 71%. 71% rejected any view of life after death. They said the light bulb just goes out. 54%, again over half that are in your pulpit, totally rejected out of hand the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ from his grave. But here's the one that scares me, and this is what they're teaching you today. Make no mistake about it. 98%. In case you missed it, I want to say it again. 98%. Totally rejected out of hand that Jesus Christ would ever return to this earth. You hear that? There's no heaven. There's no hell. There's no justice. 98% said Jesus was never coming back. Now, they may not tell you that from the pulpit, because believe me, they want to get your offerings. They want you to put into that offering bucket. So they may not say that from the offering, but when asked, and they could be anonymous, that's what they said. 98% said Jesus is never coming back. No wonder they can peddle. Once saved, always saved. No wonder they can peddle. Now, I heard a man, a very famous man, a very big man in all ways, and I mean supposedly big in his denomination, and big like he's been to McDonald's 4,000 times too often. There is such a thing as a sin of gluttony. But somebody asked him, they said, "Do you mean to tell me, if a man dies stone drunk in a house of prostitution because his wife comes in and catches him and shoots him in the back of the head, this guy is going to heaven?" And this pastor said, "Absolutely. If he's come to my church and made his altar call there, paid his tithes, he's going to heaven." I got news for you, brother. The guy in the house of prostitution is going to hell, and his fat pastor is going with him. They're both going to be there for all eternity. But I can see why that pastor would say something like that. Because he was in that class, and that's what he believed. There was a few years ago a vision given to a pastor. I'll never forget it. And this pastor said that God showed him a man that was in hell. And this man in hell was crying out from the pain and from the agony and from the misery. And he was walking through the fire, and he kept reaching down, and he would pick up a head, and he would pull up a head and look at it, and then he would drop it again. He'd walk a little further, and he'd grab another head, and he'd pick it up and look at it, and then drop it again. And he kept that up. And finally somebody said to him, "What are you doing?" And he said, "I'm looking for the pastor that told me I was right with God. I'm looking for the pastor that told me no matter what I did, I would go to be with the Lord." It's a little late. You'll find him. He's there somewhere. But it's a little late to be concerned at that point, because you're never going to get out. Now, if you go back to the book of Genesis, I'd like you to go back to the first chapter, chapter 1 and verse 31. And I want to show you something that's very interesting. And the Word of God says, "And God saw that everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And that evening and morning were of the sixth day." Now God goes through this every day. Every day He goes through this. Every day He creates. And every day when He's finished, He says, "This is very good." Everything that God created was created good. Because everything that God created has a time and a purpose and a season. And it is only when we take things out of that season, when we take them out of that time, when we use them for a different purpose, that they become evil. And that's what Satan tries to do. Is try and get us to do things out of season for the wrong purpose. I'll give you a classic example. God created, God made the poppy plant, where all of the heroin and the morphine and Lord knows how many other drugs they make out of it. All of those narcotics, all of those drugs came from the poppy plant. And God saw the poppy plant and He said, "It is very good." You think it's not good? How would you like to undergo a serious operation without the anesthetic value of what they make out of that poppy plant? How would you like to try and recuperate from invasive surgery without the pain medication that is made out of that poppy plant? In its season, for its purpose, it is very good. Sex in marriage, when God has ordained it, when God has brought two people together in marriage, sex is very good, very good. But when it's taken out of its context, out of its season, for the wrong purpose, before marriage or with someone you're not married to, then it becomes very, very evil. And I cannot tell you, I wish I had kept a count of the people that I have counseled with over the past 30 years regarding adultery, regarding sexual perversion, of one type or another. And they have said, "Pastor, you would not believe the trouble this has caused." Yes, I would. This was 15, 20 years ago. It is still causing an effect. It is still causing a problem in my family. I believe you. Because I know how serious that sin is. I know the damage that it can do to the wife, to the husband, to the children, and unto their children, unto the church, unto anybody else that hears about it or knows about it. The consequences are beyond belief. Because we have used it improperly, out of its season, for the wrong purpose. You have to ask yourself every day, the things you've done that day, to begin with, whether or not they have been done by faith, whether or not you have lived by faith in the Son of God, or if you have just done it because you do it every day, because it's a habit, because it's what you always do. And you need to ask yourself about the things you've used that day. Are they things that are used in their season for their purpose? Or have you misused them? A car can be the greatest gift that God has given you. It can get you back and forth to work. It can take you and your wife out to a movie. It can take the kids out to McDonald's. It can be a wonderful thing. It can also be a speeding bullet that will kill anything in its way. Especially if you've had a couple of drinks and you decide you're going to drive anyway. Many years before I got saved, I was a police officer. And in all the years I served as a cop, I can honestly tell you I never stopped a single person, not a one, for drunken driving that did not tell me when I would ask them, say, are you drinking tonight? I had a couple. Always a couple. Nobody ever had three. Nobody ever had one. In all those years, everybody had a couple. So drunk, they can't walk, they can't move, they can't get out of the car. They've got 3 6-packs that are empty and 2 bottles of empty whiskey, but they just had a couple. And I share that because we try and do the same thing with our sin before God. It was just a little sin. It's people like you that get into big sin. I just got into little sin. Let me tell you something. There is no difference in sin. Sin is sin. Bible says sin may be fun for a season, but you're going to pay for it. Sin is sin. It's hurt God. It's written down, and it keeps you away from His presence. It needs to be repented of. The adultery and the lies are as bad as murder. They need to be repented of. You want to be right with God? You go before the Lord. You begin to live in repentance and holiness. Lord, I am and I was a sinner. I still am. I need forgiveness for such and such a sin. Father, I need you to move into my heart. I need you to guide me and direct me that I may walk the straight and narrow path of repentance. And if you ask and you mean it and you believe it, it just happens.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and we ask you to tune in again next time for the Alarm Call. Remember, if you would like to contact us for prayer requests, or if you just need someone to talk to, you can reach us on the World Wide Web at www.intothelight.org. You can also send us traditional mail at Post Office Box 1523 in Hollister, Missouri, 65673. Please have a wonderful day, and may God be with you in all that you do.